might have heard that the Metallica boys were gonna play some heavy shit tonight.
All right, welcome back to another edition of Metal Tales from the Road. I'm here with our friend Daniel to talk about the Ullevi. Oh, shit, I'm already fucking it up. How do you say the stadium?
Ullevi.
Ullevi Stadium in our beloved Sweden. And you were gracious enough to come on. I guess you heard in our last Metal Tales that we didn't have any patrons sign up for this show in Sweden, and you graciously volunteered your time. And you just got into Copenhagen, is that correct?
Yeah, just got here a couple of hours ago.
What's the trip like from the gig you were at before? Well, it was by train, I suppose?
Yeah, just a three-hour train ride. So not too bad, but...
Yeah, are you traveling with a buddy that's going to these shows with you or anything?
Both yes and no. I guess I have a buddy that are coming to... that was at the show last night with me and are coming to the show tomorrow as well. But I'm also traveling with my dad. So
oh, cool.
It's the two of us that are traveling.
Is your dad going to the show also, or is he just traveling with you?
He's going to the shows as well.
And you were in the Snake Pit, right? Was it the Berlin show that you were in the Snake Pit?
No, it was last night in Gothenburg.
Oh, Gothenburg. Oh, badass. Great. Was that your first time being in the Snake Pit?
No, that was my second time.
Okay.
First time was in 2012 in Oslo.
Nice. On the, I guess, would that have been the World Magnetic, or is that a little past that?
Was the 20th anniversary for the Black Album tour.
Ah, yeah, I forget. Our European friends got that badass tour. We didn't really get to see it except for, I think, one of the Orion festivals. That must have been amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Did you win the Snake Pit through, like, the fifth member through the website, or how'd you get into that?
For the Snake Pit last night.
For both. How'd you get into the Snake Pit for Black Album anniversary tour?
The first time I won, and for last night, my buddy won, because you win a pair of tickets when you win, obviously, so.
That's awesome. Well, I want to hear all about, I think you might be one of our first Snake Pit Metal Tales from the European Stadium Tour, but first of all, so how did you get into Metallica? What's your online point with the band?
It was like 10 years ago, and I was right after Christmas. In 2008, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So this must have been like early 2009. And I was playing a lot of Guitar Hero at the time.
Nice.
And I had just received the new game that it came out. And I just saw some extra video features on the game. It was one title was like GH Metallica. And I was like, what's this? I clicked on the video and I was like, holy shit.
Were you aware of the band before? You just weren't a fan, or surely you were aware of Metallica in some way?
Yeah. Of course I was aware of Metallica because I was listening to a lot of metal from earlier. Like I was listening a lot to Slipknot,
mm-hmm.
for example. That was like the big band before Metallica. But then Metallica came along and I just, whoa, this was... unheard of. And there was like songs there that I knew I had heard, but I never knew that is that Metallica?
Right. Well, are you still a Slipknot fan? Are you hip to their new record? I think they just got done touring Europe on their new record.
Yeah, I'm still a huge Slipknot fan, but like Metallica is just they just came in at a point in my life, like at the right time
mm-hmm.
where I like most needed it. So
Wow, that was a good way to put that. I have the same exact experience. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 20.
Oh, you're young. You're a young cat. That explains why when you described that you got into Metallica a long time ago and then you said 10 years, it's like because you were 10. Okay, I get it. I mean, I got into Metallica in 1991, so...
Oh, yeah.
So you're 20, so you're a young cat. That's interesting. So I imagine that if Slipknot was your band when you were, what, 8 and 9 and 10? I mean, you were a metalhead at a pretty young age, huh?
Yeah, but I've always liked the type of music that's got a bit of a punch to it and a little bit of drive.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I was a little kid and stuff, my parents, when they were playing like music, I would always like listen to the songs that was a little bit more up tempo.
Yep.
And stuff.
Where are you from, Daniel?
I'm from Norway. Okay. It's a small town called Vennesla.
Okay.
For sure. Most people haven't heard of.
Are you aware that people in the United States who are more liberal-minded, like myself and my wife, that we dream of being able to live in Scandinavian countries like Norway?
Why is that exactly?
Well, we are endeared to the more socialist-leaning policies of the government, the healthcare, the education. There, you know, the people often, I don't know if you know this, but often in studies in first world countries of levels of education, happiness, health, mental health, physical health, Norway is usually kind of at the top of that list. Are you having a good time over there? This is a good opportunity for you to dispel any myths I have in my head. What's the vibe like as a 20-year-old in Norway right now? Are you having a good time?
I'm not like the typical 20-year-old Norwegian, but
really, what's a typical 20-year-old Norwegian like?
Like they're partying every freaking weekend.
Mm.
And they are listening to a lot of music that I don't listen to and stuff, and they are just I don't know how exactly to put it because I've seen it so much, so it's kind of hard to explain right now.
Gotcha. So you're traveling to, because you're up there in Norway, it's pretty easy for you to get to Sweden, to Denmark. You're kind of hitting all these places, right?
Yeah, but I've only seen Metallica in Scandinavian countries.
Gotcha. Cool. And, you know, I didn't even really think about this until right before you and I got on the line, but this was pretty much a hometown show, or at least a homecoming show for Ghost, right, in Gothenburg?
Yeah, their Ghost is from Linköping. Mm-hmm. In Sweden. I don't know exactly how far that is from Gothenburg, but it's still Sweden. I think that was actually the biggest show Ghost has done in Sweden. It was like 60,000 people, 65,000 people there last night.
Wow, incredible. You know, I was in, similar to you last night, I was in the Snake Pit for a stadium that they played in the States in St. Louis. And I don't know if you had this experience, but when you're in the Snake Pit, you're with maybe, what would you guess, maybe 100 people, 150 people in the Snake Pit?
Yeah, somewhere around that.
So you kind of just get used to that. Like, it almost feels like you're in a club because you're obviously in a little pit and you're surrounded by the catwalk and... But a few times during the show, I would turn around and look behind me, and it would be like 40,000 people standing behind me.
Yeah,
it was kind of eerie in a way to know that many people, if that many people just decided to, you know, all take 10 steps forward, it would kill me. That was a thought that went through my head.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. What's your Snake Pit strategy? You've had some experience back in 2012. Are you trying to get up front? Are you going to where the dips are? Is there a certain band member that you try to gravitate towards? Where were you at in the pit?
Well, the first time I was in the pit, it was me and my dad, because mm-hmm. I wasn't old enough to go alone.
Yeah, so, as I recall, you were a fetus in 2012, so that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, the support acts for Metallica on that tour was Gojira and Mastodon.
Wow.
And Gojira was sound checking while me and my dad was at the hotel, and my dad couldn't stand that music. So he was like, I'm not going in there until they're done playing. So when we got into the Snake Pit, it was kind of filled up, so we couldn't like really like choose where to stand, so to say.
Yep.
We just had to pick the best spot possible and see. But I was like at the left wing.
And what about this time? Was that, were you at the left wing on this time, or what you mean when you were at the Black Album gig?
Or last night I was all the way at the bottom of the snake pit.
Did you get there in time to see Bokassa?
Yeah.
What do you think? Are you a Bokassa fan, or were they new to you? Was this your first time seeing them?
This was the first time seeing them, but I've checked their music out, and I really dug it. So,
oh, cool,
it was pretty cool.
And you know, when the first of three is playing in a gig like this in a stadium, it's really tough because really many people aren't there yet, or they're starting to get to their seats. It's a bit of a it's a tough spot to play because you feel like you have to work really hard to get people to pay attention.
Yeah, and besides, you know, Bokassa isn't like the biggest band, or there are many people who haven't heard of them like before Metallica brought them on tour.
Right.
So they're new to a lot of people, and so I guess they're working very hard to try and catch the ears of the Metallica fans.
Yeah, I mean, playing to a stadium of people coming in at a Metallica gig is probably better than trying to duke it out playing Scandinavian rock clubs, you know, like headlining tiny clubs and getting 40, 50, 100 people to show up, you know?
Yeah.
I would imagine. I don't know. We actually, we have a connection to the lead singer of Bokassa, and he's going to come on the show, I guess, maybe in the next few months. So it'll be interesting to hear the whole perspective from that dude, how they're traveling, how they're being treated, which I'm sure is wonderful. The sort of psychology of opening up for two massive bands, especially last night with Sweden too. So when Ghost comes out, I wonder, there must have been a different energy in the air for them, seeing as they were, I know it's not the town they're from, but Swedish heroes almost coming home, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to look at the set list right now. It seems like they're playing the same set every night, but I wonder if they got a little extra time last night.
Yeah, they were playing like 55 minutes last night.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it looks like they basically played the same set. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's a good set to see Ghost in, because it's basically like a, if you can even call it now, I think they only have three or four albums, but it is like a greatest hits. It's very tight and right, as they say.
Yeah.
And you're a Ghost fan, I presume?
Yeah. I've seen them, now I've seen them four times.
Okay, yeah. Right on. What's your favorite Ghost record?
Oh, either Infestus of Mom or Meliora.
I'm extremely impressed of how easily you said that, their second record. Infestisium? I still don't even know how to say it.
Infestisium Mom, it's called.
Okay, well, I'm just going to let you say it for me from now on, because you know how to say it. Yeah, that's a good one, man. And you said Meliora?
Yeah.
Yeah, killer. Killer records, man. I've said it many times, but I'm so jealous that you guys get to see Ghost on this tour. And then our Australian friends get to see goddamn Slipknot.
Yeah, when I saw that announcement, I was like, fuck. I live on the wrong side of the planet.
Yeah, totally. Well, so moving into the Metallica gig, so you're there, and you're in the snake pit with your dad, you said?
No, last night I was in the snake pit with my buddy.
With your bud. Okay, cool. It's always good to share those kind of moments with a friend. And you already got to do it with your dad. That's cool too, man. What a cool dad he must be to come romp along with you to Metallica concerts, even if he doesn't like Gojira or whatever, Gojira. What's your pal like? Is he a diehard fan also?
Yeah. Or it's not like the most diehard fan Metallica like I am, but he's a pretty massive fan. But he gravitates a lot to other bands as well that I necessarily don't like, and vice versa. But Metallica is like one band that really brings us together.
Yeah, the two bands that really unite you guys are Metallica and Boyz II Men, and that's what's so great about those two bands. I do want to ask you something before we move into the set list. So you came online with the band in basically because of Guitar Hero. You're a young cat. You've seen the band 10 times already. What was it like for you going back into their catalog? Like, where did you go? What was the first record you got after Guitar Hero introduced you to the band?
The first CD I bought was the Black Album.
Okay, cool.
And I listened to that constantly. And then I got Ride the Lightning.
Nice.
I wasn't using streaming services at the time.
Good for you.
And I don't think that streaming services was big at the time as well. So I went out and bought CDs, and Ride the Lightning was just another level compared to what the Black album was, in my ears at least.
Did you buy Ride the Lightning because Fade to Black was on it, or did you just like the cover? What made you go from the Black album to Ride the Lightning? I'm just curious. Or maybe there wasn't a rhyme or reason.
I just liked Metallica. So And then I saw I just saw that, oh, they got that album. Okay, I'm buying that one. Just not having heard like any or all the songs from the said album, but I just bought it because it was Metallica and I want to check them out.
Yeah, I even though I'm quite a bit older than you, I'm about 15 years older than you, I had this almost the same experience. It was for me Black album, but I was kind of there when the Black album came out, and that's what got me excited. And then I remember, because I was just a kid, when I did have enough money, saved up $20 to go get a... When I was a kid, we would go to the mall. Malls were really big in America. And going to the mall meant my parents would give me and my sister $20. And you could do whatever you want. You could buy candy or you could get whatever the fuck for $20. $20 yeah. For me in the 90s always meant one CD, because CDs were like $18. And I remember going, being a huge Black Album cat, and then having enough money to get one CD. And the first one I got also from the early records was Ride the Lightning, because I loved the cover. And, dude, I like you, I had really never heard any of the songs except for whatever they played on Binge and Purge, which would have been like Fade to Black and Creeping Death. But, dude, I had never heard The Call of Cthulhu or Fight Fire with Fire, Trapped Under Ice, Escape. So... that was a big moment for me, too. And I think it's why Ride the Lightning is my favorite Metallica record. What's your favorite Metallica record?
Oh, that's a hard one. I actually like them all, but...
Boo! Can't say that.
I have a tattoo of Doris on my arm.
Okay, cool. So that says a lot. So you must have a connection with Justice.
Yeah. Maybe it was just like, I wanted a Metallica tattoo, so okay, let's just start with Injustice for All, I thought.
No, that's pretty good, dude. I've thought about getting the Coiled Snake from the Black Album.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Ninja Star from the Load era, I don't know. All right, so moving into the gig. So you're in the Snake Pit, and what's the vibe in the pit like? I mean, I've done it myself, but let's try to usher people who maybe haven't been in the Snake Pit yet, who maybe won't be able to go. What's the feeling like in the pit when Ecstasy of Gold begins?
Oh, that's like the favorite moment of the entire evening. And that's like, you know, you've been waiting for it all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then it rolls and you're just like, finally, it's going to happen.
You're so excited that you punch your friend in the chest. Knocks the wind out of him.
Yeah, we were just like hugging really hard when it rolled.
Oh, that's sweet, dude. That's cool. I've seen people during Ecstasy of Gold, before the show even begins, I've seen people get kind of teary-eyed, a little weepy.
Yeah, I've yet to cry during a Metallica show.
Your time is coming. Because you're going to the next gig, right? You're doing Copenhagen, and you're doing the gig after Copenhagen, right?
Yeah, Copenhagen and Trondheim in Norway.
Let's try and then that's kind of like your home show, dude. That's the show for you to let a single silver tear slide down. Now, is it going to be during Ecstasy of Gold? Is Ennio Morricone going to get it out of you? Or maybe during Nothing Else Matters? Maybe they'll play Halo on Fire again? I don't know. What's your moment? Maybe The Unforgiven? Or maybe it's Spit Out the Bone for you. I don't know.
I don't even know, actually, because like... I really don't care like what songs they're playing. It's like Metallica's there is my favorite band, so you know I love it all, you know, no matter what they play.
I totally agree. And in fact, one of the choked up times I did have was actually when they came out and played Hardwired. So the Ecstasy of Gold starts, you're so excited, just like you said, you've been waiting all day. For us, I waited in the rain for like 7 hours, but I was right on the front rail in the Snake Pit. And when James came out to do Hardwire, the first tune, he stood like directly in front of me. Like he was so close to me. It was insane. And I could just see on his face how serious he was about the whole thing. I remember just thinking like, oh shit, he really means this. He's not kidding around. And that was the closest I got to like getting emotional at a Metallica show. But then by the time they hit that chorus, we're so fucked shit out of luck. Everyone's singing it next to you and everyone's pumping their fists, and it kind of gets you out of that and you start to enjoy it with the people around you a little more.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of the Hardwired record? Are you down to see all these Hardwired tunes live?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I fucking jumped out of my bed when I saw the announcements in 2016 for the album. I was like, I've been waiting for 8 years.
Do you mean you jumped out of your crib? Sorry. It's a thing that old people have to do. We have to make fun of the youth.
You could call it a crib if you want.
Yeah, yeah, I do. I'd prefer to call your bed from now on. I'm just going to just refer to it as a crib if that's cool with you. All right, so, and you also, you're a diehard cat, so I'm imagining that you are aware of what's rotating in the set list and what's not. So were you anticipating The Memory Remains, or how do you feel about all that stuff coming up? Because the next three slots are generally rotating. Were you looking forward to anything in particular? Were you happy with what they played? You got Memory, Lightning, God That Failed.
I wasn't anticipating Ride the Lightning, but I thought they would swap it out for like Harvester or something.
Or a Disposable, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
That is interesting because they played Lightning at the show before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is interesting. They must just be digging on it, man. It's a super fun song. One of my favorite Metallica songs, easily.
Yeah, that's my buddy's favorite Metallica song. So
oh, awesome.
When they started that one, he just lost his shit.
That's when he punched you in the chest.
Yeah.
It's just a whole night of alternating with you guys punching each other. It's an interesting thing to see. And I imagine, too, they didn't play deep cuts like that at my gig in the Snake Pit, but usually the people I talk to in these stadium tours, when they play God That Failed or Ride the Lightning or Disposable, the general feeling is that most people don't really know what those songs are. But in the Snake Pit, I imagine it's a little different, right? Did it seem like everyone in the pit knew Ride the Lightning and God That Failed?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're going to get the nerds in there. Let's just face it. We're the nerds. We're the ones that are angling to get in the Snake Pit.
Yeah.
What do you think about the God That Failed? Are you into the deep cuts? I know the Black Album's the first record you got. It's obviously real heavy with singles and hits. Are you down with the My Friend in Misery, God That Failed, Struggle Within, Through the Never?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like sometimes I like the back half of the Black Album more than the front half.
Yeah. Actually, it would depend on my mood, so to say. But, I mean, you know, sometimes I listen more to that song than I listen to that song.
Yeah, totally.
Kind of go back and forth a little bit.
Yeah. Yep, I hear that. I've been trying to get into physical media more, just because it's, you know, it's been digital for the last 20 years. Your whole life, it's really been digital media.
Yeah.
And, but I kind of remember a time when it was all physical media. So my car has a CD player. So I made like 3 or 4 burned discs of sort of Metallica songs that I just didn't spend a lot of time with as a kid. And a song that would be on that disc would be like The God That Failed, for example. And My Apocalypse from Death Magnetic, Judas Kiss, just sort of outlier tunes, Trapped Under Ice, Leper Messiah. And dude, I went through a phase where I didn't take that disc out of my CD player for like 8 months. It's just so fun to spend. Dude, I even went through a phase where I listened to Saint Anger for a couple of months straight just because I was so excited about the band. This was maybe a year and a half ago when we were doing Saint Anger on the show. Just because I was so excited about the band and just wanted to hear some different stuff, you know? Where do you stand on the whole Saint Anger controversy?
Oh, I don't care about the snare.
Doesn't bother you?
No, I actually think it brings an edge to the sound of the record.
I agree with that.
You know, it's because it was like in a very intense time for the band when they were making the record.
Mm-hmm.
And they really wanted to show that on the record, probably. So
when you're working your way through the catalog as a young new fan, Black Album, Lightning, maybe you roll through some of the other thrashy records, you get a Justice Tattoo. When you got to Saint Anger, whatever the flow chart was on that, did it just register to you just as another Metallica record? Did it poke out to you at all?
Yeah, like Frantic and Saint Anger, like the two first songs,
mm-hmm.
they really stuck with me when I first started listening to that record. And but I didn't like listen to the deeper cuts on that album for a while.
I'm not sure anyone has. I don't know anyone whose favorite Metallica song is Purify. Not yet. I'm still looking.
Yeah, it's not my favorite song, but I don't mind it. You know, if it rolls on, if it comes along on my playlist, you know, I'll listen to it.
Jam on it. Yeah, I hear you. All right, so moving on through the set list, The Unforgiven, of course, a classic barn burner. Are you the kind of dude that's like, for example, The Unforgiven solo is one of the greatest Metallica solos of all time. Are you honing in on Kirk? Who do you sort of pay attention to? Do you try to give everyone equal time? Are you a James cat exclusively? What's your deal with that?
Oh, I would say I gravitate a little bit more towards James than any of the other guys, but
I think that's true for most of us.
Yeah, probably.
I'll tell you what's fun about Lars, though, in these stadium shows, and you really can't see it much unless you're in the snake pit. This is another sort of window into what the snake pit's like, is how much Lars interacts with the people on the front row, or like in the people closest to the stage. Like, I was really surprised at how much he was pointing at people, kind of making jokes with people, making eye contact. Were you aware of that at all going on with Lars? Or maybe I've made all that up in my head to make myself feel important.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I wasn't paying too much attention to Lars last night because, you know, I really couldn't, like, see him that up close.
Mm-hmm.
From where I stood in the snake pit.
Yep.
But, yeah, you know, I've noticed that too. Like, he's, you know, making faces towards people and doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's fun. How did Kirk do on the solo? Did he play the solo well?
Oh, yeah.
He's been doing a good job on this whole tour, I think. He had a funny thing in Berlin where his guitar went out during Master of Puppets. Was there any kind of weird guitar, any kind of weird technical issues at all during the show? Those are always interesting to me.
Not that I can remember from last night, no.
In between you and your friend punching each other, I'm just curious if you noticed anything interesting. Here Comes Revenge, which, and for my money, is a treat of this tour. You guys are getting to see the song every night. It's one of my favorite deep cuts off Hardwired. How did you take Here Comes Revenge?
Oh, I loved it. And when James started that, started one of the riffs during the song, you know, he turned around directly to me, and I was like, "Holy shit!"
He looked right at you and said, "Daniel, here comes revenge."
No, it was after the song had started, but he was like standing like 2 meters away from me or something.
And for people who haven't been able to be that close, like up on the rail or anything, when they're near you, they will look at you. And it's a really odd feeling because it's like almost like you have to be prepared for that. Like, what are you going to, you know, like, how did you take the look? What did you do back? What'd you give him back? Did you throw some horns at him? Did you give him a knowing nod? Did you break down and cry like a child? What'd you do?
Well, I always throw my horns up.
Yeah.
And
classic.
I actually kind of was like thinking of I actually should have told you this earlier, but I've actually met Metallica as well.
Oh, boy. So yeah, that's why he looked at you. He looked at you as if to say, "I've seen you before."
Because, yeah, maybe.
Because here are the things you can run through when they look at you. The horns, classic. You can do the sort of Bill Clinton thumbs up. You can point and say, "You da man." That's another option you can do. But you went with the horns. And so tell us about when you met the band. What's up with that? How did that happen? Was it, did you just win a meet and greet or what?
Hardwired experience.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, this was last year in Herning in Denmark.
So that means you got to meet Mr. James, Jimmy James Hetfield as well, if you paid for the Hardwired experience.
That was like one of the reasons why I bought it, because I wanted to meet everyone.
Right. Well, and if you don't buy the Hardwired experience, you have to just try to win the lottery of the meet and greet, and that, you know, that people enter that every tour and sometimes don't get it. So give us a brief recap of what did you say to these dudes? What did you say to each member? What was the convo that you had with them?
Well, me and Kirk talked a little bit about guitar stuff and stuff like that, because I'm a guitar player as well.
Cool.
And you know, we were just talking about a little bit general stuff. I found Kirk a little bit hard to keep a conversation going.
Yeah.
But it went good, and Lars was like the nicest dude I've ever met.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know. Well, you're a diehard Metallica nerd, so even though you're a young gun, you probably know that he didn't have the best reputation for much of the 90s. He was kind of generally regarded as sort of pompous and kind of had a rock star asshole attitude. I never really felt that way about Lars, ever. But it is amazing how these days, like maybe the last 10, 15 years, his reputation is stellar. I mean, that what you just said about him is, I've never heard a bad story about Lars. He's super sweet, super engaging, asks you questions about yourself, knows a lot about wherever you're from because he's well-traveled and super smart. I love hearing that sort of reinforced, you know, that he was a sweetie. Did he ask you about yourself? Did he talk about Norway? What was his vibe? What'd you guys talk about?
One of the first questions I asked him was if he could put Creeping Death into the set that night, because I had yet to hear that song being played live.
Mm-hmm. And what'd he say?
He grabbed my hand and said, "I'll do it."
He grabbed your hand? Holy shit. All you got to do is ask for a song, and he'll embrace you and touch you. Cool. Note to self. Although I would be asking him, if I hadn't seen Creeping Death, I definitely would have asked for that. Easily top three Metallica songs of all time. I would be asking for something like Where the Wild Things Are. He probably would not be taking my hand after that.
Yeah.
He's like, there's no fucking way we're ever playing that song. Sorry. What about Mr. Trujillo? What'd you talk to him about?
He asked me what if I had any like suggestions for the doodle that they were gonna have in Oslo last year.
Is that when they did the Aha song?
Yeah, but that was my suggestion, because I couldn't come up with anything.
You did suggest Aha?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I was totally blank right there.
Let me just look up famous bands from Norway. And it was Rob who sang it too. Take on me.
Yeah.
I know I co-host a Metallica podcast, and I kind of nailed that really weird trivia just then, but I'm kind of amazed that I knew that. Dimmu Borgir I'm familiar with that band. My friend Darren Edwards has given me some of their records. Are you familiar with that band?
Oh, yeah. They're like the biggest black metal band in Norway.
Liv Christine? I don't know who that is. Emperor?
Emperor, yeah.
Satyricon, Serenia, Marion Raven, Morten Harket. I've not heard of really any. Definitely number one on this list that I'm looking. Oh, Gorgoroth. I've heard of them. Wow. Combi Christ. There's some intense shit. Aha's definitely at the top of the list.
Yeah.
That's cool that he dipped in with you. So when he found out you were from Norway, he knew that show was coming up, and they were probably scratching their heads too. And cool that he took an interest in you and asked you for suggestions for that.
Mm.
All right, and the big guy, Mr. Jimmy James Het Jr. Sr. Esquire III. What did you talk to James about?
Oh, when he walked up to me, he said, "Hey, you look familiar."
Oh, boy.
And I was just like, wow, really? From where? And he said, "We took a photo 20 minutes ago."
Oh, dad joke.
Because when you do the Hardwired experience, you first take the group photo, and then you get to talk to the band afterwards.
Right, right. They knock the group photo out of the way. Yeah, yeah. So that must be one of his reoccurring ice-breaking dad jokes. But dude, I would have had the same reaction, just because I'm so nervous to meet him, and he's like a hero of mine. He's like, "Hey, I've seen you before." Like, what? Where? Nuh-uh. How? Are you familiar? This is going to be so far out if you know this band, Daniel. There's a kind of a pop acoustic band that was big in the college scene in the 90s called Guster. Have you ever heard of Guster?
No.
Okay, cool. I didn't think so. I am a huge Guster fan. And I met a band that I played with in maybe 2010. We got to open for Guster. Okay, big exciting day for me because I was just a huge Guster fan. Yeah. And we're all hanging around during soundcheck, you know. And we all shared a dressing room. So I work up the courage to go to the guitar player, whose name is Adam. And I said, "Hey, man, it's just such an honor to play with you today. I've been a huge Guster fan, you know, since I was in high school." And he was like, "Hey." He's like, "Adam." I was like, yeah, it's Clint. He goes, "Oh, yeah, we've met before." He said it so confidently. And I was like, "Really?" I kind of did the thing like you did. But here's the deal, Daniel. I know for a fact that I've never met this guy because I'm a huge fan. And meeting him is something I would have remembered. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I met you at the on the thing. And he named something I've never been to. And I said, "Oh, you know, I don't think that was me, dude. I wasn't at that thing." And he remained confident. He's like, no, well, I remember your face. You're Clint, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, my name is Clint." He's like, yeah, we met at the thing like 2 years ago." And it was just a horribly awkward experience because to this day, I know for a fact that I've never met that guy except for that one time when he was sure we'd met before.
Yeah.
I thought you were about to tell me you had that same exact experience with James. But no, it turns out he was doing his classic dad joke. So after you broke the ice with that, what did you guys talk about?
Then he noticed my Justice for All tattoo.
Mm. What did he say about it? You know,
he really liked it. And there was one thing missing on the tattoo, and that was the three dots before and Justice for All.
Mm-hmm.
And I just briefly mentioned to him that the three dots aren't there, but whatever. And he was like, "Let's fix that." And he took a Sharpie and he drew the three dots on there.
Dude.
And I got it tattooed afterwards.
Hell yeah. I'm clapping for that. That is a good story, man. Wow. So did you just have like someone that was standing nearby bring him a Sharpie, or was he holding a Sharpie or what?
I guess it was holding a Sharpie.
Interesting. Just in case someone has a tattoo that says "Injustice for All" without the three dots, he can go ahead and solve that problem.
Yeah.
Dude, that is fucking awesome. So you got some Hetfield ink on you now.
Yeah.
Dude, that is sick. I love that. I'm going to get an impartial Metallica tattoo just for that very same reason. Whoops, the coiled snake doesn't have a tail. Guess we got to solve that problem, Jimmy. Okay, so cool. Well, that's badass, dude. Congrats on meeting the band. That's obviously a dream come true for many of us listening right now. And of course, conducting this interview. So moving into Moth and the Flame, we generally consider this a brand new classic Metallica song. Where do you sit on the Moth and the Flame tune?
Totally agree with you on that one. It's an awesome live song.
I think when the Hardwired cycle inevitably runs its course, that will be one of the ones that I hope doesn't leave the set lists.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I love Hardwired. I'm fine with it. Here Comes Revenge, fine. All that's fine. If they played Halo and Moth at every show from now on, I'd be okay with that.
I could do without Halo, but Moth, yeah, sure.
Well, and speaking of Halo, so the set list is really similar to Berlin, except for Halo. They played Sanitarium instead. Would you rather have seen Sanitarium?
I actually would rather see No Leaf Clover.
Oh, big time.
Than Halo, but I was fine with that one. But
what do you make of the fact that they'll come out swinging with No Leaf Clover or Disposable, or even in the States they played the Unforgiven 3, and then they never play them again? What do you think's going on with that? Maybe they tried it out, they didn't really like the way it felt. Maybe they weren't getting the response from the crowd that they hoped they would. Why do you think they back off of those songs?
I'm not really sure, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of a big mystery. I'd love to talk to Lars about that. He's probably listening right now, by the way. So, Halo on Fire, you say you can do without it. I kind of feel that, too. I can kind of see that. It's long. It's a long tune.
Yeah.
And I love the outro. I mean, I love that fucking song.
Oh, yeah.
But it is kind of long, especially with the new sort of, you know, meandery, esoteric intro that James does. Now, in these doodles, you'll have to help me out. The Staten och Kapitalet? How do you say that?
Staten och Kapitalet.
Oh, I fucking nailed it. What is that? What is that by? Who's that?
I don't even know. I'm not from Sweden.
Okay.
So, but it's a big song in Sweden.
Everyone knew it? Was everyone kind of singing along?
It looked like it, and it sounded like it.
Who sang that one, Kirk or Rob?
Rob.
What do you think about Rob's vocals?
I've seen people online who are like, oh, we don't like Rob's vocals, but I'm fine with it, you know?
It's fun.
You know, he's not meant to be a singer for Metallica.
Right.
You know, he's meant to be the bass player. So when he goes out of his way to do stuff like that, you know, just salute him for trying it.
Oh, man, I love your vibe on that. I totally agree. And people, I think people underestimate how challenging that must be. He knows he's not a fucking great singer, but he still goes out there. They drum something up. They make it special for the city and the community or the country. It's so weird that this aha thing is coming up, because I remember seeing an interview with James after they played Oslo, and he was talking about Rob, and he was like, you know, it took me years to feel comfortable singing in front of people, and now Rob's out there singing in front of 40,000 people, you know, an aha song. He's like, I could never do that. So
yeah,
I'm with you, man. I salute that too. I love Rob in this band. What's your vibe on bass players in Metallica? Cliff, Jason, Rob, being a young cat coming in the Rob era.
I think with every bass player, there has been like very like different eras for the band whenever they got a new bass player.
Absolutely.
You know, it really like changes the sound of the band, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not so much on Justice, the first with Jason, as the three other albums with Jason. But yeah, you know, I have nothing bad to say about either Rob, Jason, or Cliff. And, you know, they've all done great with the band, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, in hindsight, as we continue to look back and refine what the experience has been, it does really seem like each chapter makes sense and has its own place and fits in together. And I'm with on that. So then we move into the St. Anger slot. Now, I think I would probably rather see Frantic than St. Anger. But I do think it's interesting that they're making some room for this record. I mean, before this, they weren't playing these songs at all.
Yeah.
For a long time, for maybe 10 years.
Yeah, I was like really happy when they had the first show in Lisbon and I saw they were playing Frantic. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, dude, everyone was flipping out about that show.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just talking to the Berlin Metal Tales yesterday, and I mean, when we were watching that first set list, like Disposable Heroes is in the third slot, and when they played The God That Failed, my friend Chris Yurgis had kind of tipped me that they might play God That Failed. But then, dude, when it got down to the St. Anger slot and they played Frantic, everyone was fucking flipping out, dude.
Yeah.
How did it sound? And what was the reaction from the crowd? Generally favorable?
From the Snake Pit, yeah. Because there are nerds in there, most mm-hmm. likely.
Yes.
And, you know, I think live St. Anger sounds actually really good now.
Yeah.
You know, Kirk does space for, or they do space so Kirk can do a solo.
Yep.
A little bit in there. And, you know, it just, I actually do think it really fits the set they're going with now.
Hmm. Interesting. I joked on the last Metal Tales, because the next five songs that they play in a row just kick you in the face. And it's almost like, jokingly, of course, it's like almost like an apology for playing a St. Anger song, because you get One, Puppets, Bells, Creep, Seek all in a row.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that stretch of songs is just incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Anything memorable from those barn burners?
When they started, when they were going to play For Whom the Bell Tolls, mm-hmm. you know, Lars had his drum kit come up from the Snake Pit.
Right.
And he sat there for the three next songs. So right. Lars was playing right behind me.
Wow. Did you get a so you got a real close up view of the crab walk, the Trujillo, the infamous Trujillo crab walk.
Oh yeah. And which, the spin in Seek and Destroy.
Yeah, the helicopter guy. Which that is truly amazing. I don't know if you have kids. You are a kid, so hopefully you don't have any kids yet, but I have a 4-year-old and occasionally we will spin around together and it nauseates me. And I don't know how he does it so fast, holding that guitar, doesn't fall down, and then immediately starts playing again.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of an amazing feat.
Oh yeah.
So they go off and they played Spit in Berlin. Were you anticipating Lords of Summer? Were you hoping for Lords of Summer?
I was hoping more for Spit than Lords of Summer.
Yeah. You're probably going to get Lords of Summer, though, if you're going to 2 more shows, I would imagine, unless they're done with it. Actually, have they played Lords of Summer the last several shows? Maybe not.
I'm not sure.
Let me see in Twickenham what they did. Yeah, they played it in Twickenham, so it's still in there. Damn, they played No Leaf Clover at that show, too. Dude, you're probably going to get to see No Leaf Clover.
I hope so.
Man, are you going to S&M, too?
No.
Me neither. I'm bummed about that. What do you think about S&M? How did you feel when you got to that record? Metallica with a symphony, it's Bob Rock, it's 99. Did you like that record when you heard it?
Yeah.
I have yet to really talk to anyone who did not like that record or does not like that record. Okay, so they play Spit. I mean, I think that's a big treat on this tour. I doubt they'll ever play Spit on a normal tour again. I think this is definitely part of the Worldwired cycle. And it's such a nice surprise, dude, that they bring it out and that it kills. I think they do a great job.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely a highlight of the record for me.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Nothing Else Matters and Sandman. For us nerds, I think we have a different experience with these two songs than most of the people at the show. Most people at the show are there probably because of those two songs. And seeing those two songs live is this big, fresh thing. It's the song they've most been looking forward to. It's their biggest takeaway. Whereas for us, the biggest takeaways are deep cuts like Lightning and God That Failed and No Leaf Clover. But our experience with it, right, is just, I don't know, how did you feel during these two songs? These aren't songs that you or I probably ever would just choose to listen to. And yet, do you like these songs? I mean, I love them.
Yeah, you know, I listen to them from time to time, but again, you know, when you're at a show with like 60,000 people and they all get their cell phones lighting up at the stadium, it's just, and you turn around to look behind you and it's just beautiful to see.
Right.
And then everyone is singing along and stuff.
That's some powerful stuff.
Yeah.
And you get to see the big James Hetfield solo, although he's not kicking a stool these days. I feel like the stool kicking is a big part of it for me. You know what I'm talking about? He usually, like, he'll play the beginning of Nothing Else Matters on a stool, and then he's all brooding and sad. And then when he plays the solo,
like he did during World Magnetic Tour and stuff.
Yeah. And I think, you know, cunning stunts and pretty much everything before the World Wired Tour.
I'm not sure what I think about that, but...
Well, I'm mostly just joking. Although, if he asked me, I would be like, dude, kick a goddamn stool every time you do that. Yeah. Let's have a stool provided. And he could do like what Paul Stanley does in Kiss and smash the stool and give out pieces of it to the snake pit. Then you can sell pieces of that stool on eBay in Norway, which will fund your trip to go watch S&M2 on September 6th in San Francisco. I've got this all planned out for you, dude. It's going to happen in Copenhagen. I bet that Copenhagen show is going to be special, obviously, Lars's hometown show.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans for Snake Pit or anything VIP for any of these shows?
No. Just a normal floor ticket.
Just a regular-ass Metallica fan.
Yeah.
Well, dude, that's awesome that you got Snake Pit for this gig. That's such a, you know, for those of you out there who are still angling for it or maybe have Snake Pit for the future, it's such a special way, obviously, to enjoy a Metallica concert. So I'm glad you got to have that experience with your buddy, too, who you beat up all night.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I know your time is valuable, and you got to Copenhagen. You're ready to rock tomorrow for the gig. Thank you so much for stepping up and coming and being an ambassador for this show, dude. It was a pleasure to jam with you and talk to you.
No worries. All good.
Let me ask you this. You said you play guitar. Are you in a band or anything? Is there anything you want to promote while we're on the show?
I have a project going on with my buddy who I was at the Snake Pit with last night.
Yeah, it's called Fight Club.
No, we're called Viction.
Nice. A metal project?
Yeah.
Viction.
And we got some music coming out soon, we hope. It was actually supposed to come out this Friday, but something happened, so we had to postpone it a little bit.
Okay.
But there's going to be some music coming out soon.
Is there anywhere online that we can find it? I see you have a Facebook page. Okay, so everyone check out Viction. It's Viction. And Daniel, are you just the guitar player, or do you sing in the band also?
I am a guitar player, and I also do the vocals.
So. You got to promise me, if you haven't already, that at your next gig, you will say, "Good night, Dark Continent, we are Viction."
Will do.
Have you ever said that before at the end of a show?
To be fair, we actually haven't had any like real shows yet, because we are just two in the band as of now, but we're going to try and find a drummer and another guitar player.
Is this a picture of you on your Facebook wearing a ghost shirt playing guitar?
Yeah, that was during a recording session for one of our songs.
So who played the drums in the recording session?
That's actually, we went to a school in Norway.
Okay.
Where we literally play metal music for an entire year.
Wow.
And, you know, we write our own songs and we record them, and making a compilation record at the end of the year.
Okay. Wow.
So two Eviction songs are on that record, and we have another song that we're going to release ourselves at a later point.
Okay, listen, you Norwegians out there, or you Swedes, or you, what do you call people, you Danish people? If you want to join Viction, they are looking for a lead guitar player and a drummer, and you can be a part of an original Norwegian metal band, which is the dream. Dude, I grew up loving the idea of Norwegian metal, Norwegian black metal. And now there's an opportunity. All right, so Viction, everyone look for Viction. They got a Facebook, new music coming soon. Dude, Daniel, thank you so much, man. It was a treat to talk to you. We'll see you down the line in the old Metallica universe. Hey, it's Clint from Metal Up Your Podcast, and we hope you're enjoying the Metal Tales from the Road series. If you've been keeping up with us, then you already know that we've covered every stop on the 2018-2019 North American Arena Tour, and we look forward to catching up with all of our European friends later this year on the Stadium Tour overseas. And there's more! After the Stadium Tour, we are continuing the Metal Tales series for any Metallica show in the past. Maybe you saw one of the Orion Festivals. Maybe you were at the Channel in 1984 and Cliff Burton bought you a beer. Maybe you were at one of the 30th anniversary shows, or you just saw a regular-ass show in North Dakota somewhere. We want to hear from you. Since Ethan and I started Metal Up Your Podcast, we wanted to find a way for listeners to call in and share their stories. Well, this is it. To make yourself eligible for a future or past Metal Tales episode, please consider joining us on Patreon. For $5 a month, you not only get to come on the show as a guest, you also get both of our Cover Our World Blackened EPs, monthly giveaways like deluxe box sets, rare vinyl, posters, and other goodies. You get early access to our YouTube videos, and we also let you ask our guests like Ray Burton, Michael Wagner, Hailstorm, members of Slipknot, your very own questions. For what essentially amounts to 2 cups of coffee a month, you can ensure that Metal Up Your Podcast continues to grow in quality and content. For any of you on the ride with us, we love you, we thank you, peace and adios. How do you pronounce the stadium? Ullevi Stadium. Okay, there's very, very small chance I'm going to get that correct. But I will give it a shot, I promise.